Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the illumination we need to have in order to understand what's really going on in this world, why all of the adversity exists, and how it is that you're turning the curse into a blessing, because you're using the adversity as a crucible to create momentum in our spiritual lives so that we deploy your Word to your glory and our benefit. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of verses related to the zeitgeist. We've been using these verses for a week or two. We'll probably switch them out this week. Yeah, we'll do a Christmas thing next. That's coming up Wednesday. James 1:19-20. You know, my brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's an important concept we have to have here. Remember, we have to, think of one of the greatest men in God's plan. Well, why did he fail? Moses. Moses was the leader of the nation of Israel. And he was characterized as the most humble man on the face of the earth. And of course, we've defined humility as positive listening to truth. So he submitted to the truth of the Word of God, but yet simultaneously, he disobeyed God. And so he had a failure. He had obviously a problem with anger. And who wouldn't? Dealing with the people he was dealing with. They're trying to kill him. So you can kind of understand his reaction. But he still, remember, he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And that violated the integrity of God. So God was revealing to the people the principle of grace at that point. And he didn't complain. Of course, God still came through, thereby exhibiting his principle of grace in spite of Moses. That it cost Moses the opportunity to go into the land. And so he got to see the land from the top of the mountain, but he couldn't go there. So Joshua ended up taking the people into the land. Remember, for 40 years he put up with these people. And at the very end, just before they're about to cross the Jordan, he got angry. And that angry did not perform the righteousness of God. So we have to have that same idea. John 3:19-20, this is a condemnation. Now this is a passage where I correlate the concept of light and darkness that John uses all over his writing. In 1 John, he actually says there is no accord between light and darkness, which means you can't make friends with it. And of course, if you understand light and darkness are mutually exclusive. If you have light, you don't have darkness. So that's what you have to realize. We cannot agree with the opposition in our country because it's like light and darkness. It's cut and dried. There's no gray here. It's just light and darkness. So, but this is a condemnation that the truth, that's the light, that in this case it was Jesus, has come into the world, and the people love the lie rather than the truth. And of course the passage says darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. See, their old sin nature was compatible with the cosmic system which Satan's created. So that's why they were locked into the lie. And they, even though Jesus didn't come to condemn them, they were already condemned. The problem is most people don't know that. So they think that when you stand for the truth, you're condemning them. Well, no. We're just standing for the truth. It is what it is. Do what you want. Condemnation is already. In fact, if you go back a verse, you see that. See, the whole thing is set up by verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe has already been condemned. That's our word. It's translated judged here, but it means, it's krino. It means to condemn, to judge. You know, it's basically a determination, judicial determination. So, anyways, because everyone who does the evil hates the truth. Of course, that means the people who are compatible with the lie hate the truth. Now, the reason they hate the truth is because they don't understand the truth. And most of the time they're deceived. Not everybody, but most. And of course the devil is the author of that deception. Because he does hate the truth. So he's at war with God. And he does not come to the truth because they're afraid that their evil deeds will be exposed. Why? And Hebrews tells us why. They're afraid because they don't want to be condemned. But they're already condemned. See, it's really kind of stupid. You know, they're already condemned. But they don't view themselves as being condemned. Even though they should. So that's why total depravity is a concept that people have to understand. And total depravity doesn't mean there's no hope. It just means we are hopeless without God. And God has reached down to us through Jesus. He's always offering hope. And he never leaves us or forsakes us. So he's reaching out through Jesus. And he never fails. I mean, the only thing that times out on that is us. God doesn't time out. In fact, I believe the case of the matter is that God is even reaching. I mean, this is a stretch. You can't really tell it from specifically from what we have revealed to us. But I believe the case can be made that he's reaching into the lake of fire. That nobody will reach back because they're so hateful. You know, because that's what the words, when he talks about the lake of fire, we get all ouchy fire, heat. No. It means purification. The word is pur. The word is translated fire as pur. And it has to do with the way they purified metals back in the day. You heated it. Well, you still do it that way. And, well, no, you can use chemicals today. Chemicals are more, I guess they're better in some ways. But you generally start with fire because the dross floats to the surface. The true material sinks and you can ladle it off. And you end up with a fairly pure variant of the what you're after, gold or silver. And that's the concept. So what's happening in the lake of fire is a purification process that never happens. Because the words are compounded age upon age. And that means that forever. So, you know, but that's a long time. Longer than we imagine. But that's what it says. We go with the words that are in there. We're good. Jeremiah 17:9, the human mind is more deceitful. This is depravity. Than anything else. Incurably bad. Who can understand it? So that's our position apart from Jesus Christ. Now, once we believe in Jesus, we become under his auspice or aegis. Think about an aegis destroyer. Aegis destroyer floats in the, you know, is around with the fleet, and it's running an overhead over everything. And it's an aegis destroyer doesn't have any airplanes coming off of it, maybe a helicopter, but it's all missiles. So it's sitting out there with missiles, and it's basically creating an umbrella over the entire fleet as they're floating around. And that's the cover these days. You don't have to have air cover necessarily, although they often do. But an Aegis destroyer provides cover. And they have the radar systems to do that. They're pretty interesting to see. We've seen them in New York at the port when they've been in there for Fleet Day, which is kind of cool. Ecclesiastes 8:8. This has to do with God's authority. No man has authority to control the wind, the weather, or the climate. We have some folks in our country that think otherwise. Or the authority of the day of death. We all have people in that situation too. There's no discharge in the midst of a battle. We are in a battle, spiritually. And the evil people will not be rescued by their evil deeds. Because, Hosea 8:7, A, they sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. So the consequences of their negative volition cause the backlash. See, what's interesting about God's plan, it's an amplifying regenerative oscillator. An oscillator creates a sound or frequency. That's how radio waves happen. And when you have it, if you take a microphone and stick it in front of the speaker, you know what I mean. If you don't turn the sound down, it'll blow your ears out. Well, it might blow the speaker out first. But that's God's power system, or the system God has created. It's an amplifying regenerative system. So what you feed in is what comes back out bigger. So that's why we have to guard our thinking. Because if we don't guard our thinking, we'll end up putting the wrong stuff in there. And it'll come back out. That's the whirlwind. So you sow to the wind, and you reap the whirlwind. And that's the power. That's the signal going into the mic, back out through the speaker, and amplifying. And that, of course, that's how a big amplifier works. I mean, microwave oscillators actually work that way. If you understand what's inside your microwave, you know that's how they work. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are fully given to do evil. We got that in our country in spades. There's people in this country that have not been prosecuted, but should have been, and they think they can get away with everything now. We're going to see. Probably not. Let's hope not. John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral religious people. That's the reality. What that means is people do the right thing for the right reason. Okay? That's what that means. Which means even if they have a chance to lie and steal, they don't. We've got half our country that doesn't comply with that rule. They're criminals first. See? So the Constitution doesn't work for criminals. In half our country, they have a D in front of their name or after, are criminals, all of them. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other, and this means if the voters become Democrat socialist, tyranny will be necessary because the Constitution is totally inadequate to control socialists. You see, we talk about this in Peter. Peter says, don't use your freedom as a license to perform evil. And I've translated that, a license to destroy liberty. Because evil destroys liberty. So where's our country right now? We have freedom. Well, we used to. Before COVID. And we still pay homage to the concept. Kind of, maybe. But the reality is that because of the tyranny that we have imposed on ourselves, or the government has, we've allowed the government to impose on us, freedom is being destroyed. See, and that's why people like Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. You know, that's the attitude people have to have here to save freedom, or no, liberty. They have freedom, but they got to save liberty. See, Patrick Henry had to create liberty. So that's why he said that. They were up against the biggest army in the world at that time. And so his idea was, I'd rather be dead than to live in your world. Well, that's the attitude we have to have. I'd rather be dead than to live in your world. And it may come to that. We'll see. If God overrules their bad choice, it won't be because the nation deserves it. It never does. It's all about grace. The nation is sown to the wind and deserves the whirlwind that may be coming. The greatest mass murder in the 20th century wasn't Hitler or Stalin, it was Mao Zedong. And he's the one that wrote off on the system that the leftists are using to destroy our country. In case you haven't noticed, there's one word that's coming up continuously in the context of the new administration, should it happen. That word is Communist China. Okay? That's Mao Zedong. He's the one that did that. And he ran Chiang Kai-shek out of Dodge, and he ended up on Formosa, which is now Taiwan. And that's where the Nationalist Party went. They were gone. So that's why we have this deal with Taiwan, because they were the free people that got run out of China back in 1949. So this is what we're up against. According to the authoritative Black Book of Communism, an estimated 65 million Chinese died as a result of Mao's repeated merciless attempts to create a new socialist China. So you can substitute a number for that, for the new socialist Democrats. Okay? It may not be 65 million, it may be a few less, because we got fewer people. Anyone who got in his way was done away with by execution, imprisonment, or forced famine. The Chinese Communist Party continues to use those same merciless tactics to keep China enslaved to this day. So that's what's going on. And that's what they're trying to impose here, and they're doing it the Chinese way. That's what political correctness has to do with. That's Chinese. So if you see that happening, that's what you're up against. Now, the people who are foisting this or attempting to foist this off on it may not recognize the truth of it, but that's what's happening. So that tells you how big the war is. It's a serious war. So in our study on Sermon of Smyrna, we're going to probably wrap back into that here today, the base of the pivot power for the first Gentile nation is PQR. So remember, the churches of the Levant today, they're in Turkey today. They've been renamed, except for a couple of them. Well, the ancient cities haven't necessarily, because there's still travel there. But the new cities that have replaced the ancient cities have all been renamed to Mohammedan. Mohammedan names. See, Islam is wrong because it means submit. I don't go with that. We don't submit to them. The Mohammedan names have been replaced. So that's Smyrna now Izmir. We've been there. It's the first place I heard the morning call to the mosque. It's an eerie sound. We were on the balcony of a ship when that happened. So this took us to a doctrine of study of the doctrine of historical trends, because the concept of pivot power integrates in the church age with historical trends. So that becomes the basis of how our nation functions and all the nations since SPQR. When we left off last time, we had noted that no nation has ever permanently survived the prosperity of manifest destiny. We noted manifest destiny included three components: a landed gentry, an industrial complex, and an undeveloped frontier. And you got to have all three. And the landed gentry starts out, fires things up, and you get food. Okay, you have some commerce based on food, textiles, tobacco, whatever. You know, all the stuff they used to make in the South and sometimes still do, sugar. All right, and so that creates the engine to drive the economy from nothing. I mean, they cut the woods down and they put fields in and they planted the fields and they harvested the food. Somebody's got to do that at that level, and it starts from nothing. And then because you have something going, you can start thinking about some of the people. That doesn't require all the people. Some of the people can involve the industrial complex. Well, that was steel and railroads and banking. You know, all those kinds of things. Oil, eventually, later. Coal. All those were huge ways of a part of the industrial complex. So, in the end, what happened is they went to war. The issue was slavery here, kind of, maybe, on a peripheral side. They make it a big and central thing, but it's really not. The real issue was who's going to run the show. And who ran the show after the war was the North, not the South. Okay, and the people that couldn't, the miscreants that couldn't deal with either of these people went to the frontier. They gave them an out. And rather than going to jail, they went to the frontier. So you got to have that. Because sometimes you have people that are really creative, but they just don't fit into your society. And you might have to throw them in jail. Well, in communist China, they would be. They put them in jail. Which is why they can't do anything. They got to steal everything they have. They can't, they don't build nothing from scratch. They can't. They're a parasite. You know, that's something you got to get in your head. All communists, all socialists, all progressives of that ilk are parasites. They put their tentacles into the capitalist system and they suck it to death. And that's what's going to happen in our country if we're not real careful. We're getting close already. So you can't ever permanently survive prosperity of manifest destiny in these times of the Gentiles. SPRQR holds a record for client nation prosperity due to the prolonged pivot resulting in almost 500 years of prosperity. So it migrated from the Levant up through across the Hellespont and over into Europe. See? And it ends up in Greece and Rome. That's why the first big church was the Roman Orthodox Church. The Catholic Orthodox, which is the Russian Church. They're connected together. And they had the big split because of how they identified the Holy Spirit. And the East Church got it wrong, and the West Church got it right, which is why the truth ends up coming out of the West Church, the Roman side. And ultimately, you get freedom from what? Luther and Calvin. Now, they had their issues, but as they rolled forward, there was more and more freedom being created from the doctrine. And that's where the Protestant churches have come from. And that's still moving. That doctrine is still advancing to some extent. The understanding that advance has to do with our understanding what the Bible actually says. There's nothing new. It's always been there. It's just that people have rejected it because of their preconceived ideas and their power lust and monetary lust. You know, the Catholic Church was taken off track based on prosperity. They became so rich, and they're still so rich, that they don't know what to do with all their money. And it completely perverted them. So they're evil. But they used to be the core of the doctrine, of the truth. And there's still people there to get it, a few. So, the SPQR holds a client record for client nation prosperity due to its prolonged pivot, and resulting in almost 500 years of prosperity. Orientation to authority is a matter of human volition. So this is an important concept. Authority, God delegates authority. But with free volition, you have the choice to say no. You don't have to agree. You're not obligated to. Now, there's consequences if you don't, maybe, unless you're a Democrat. But most of the time, there's hell to pay if you disorient to authority wrong. They're going to come at you. That's what they do. The function of authority in life is dependent upon human volition. So every authority in life, remember, we got the authority structure, it's kind of like the inverse pyramid. Volition is at the bottom, then you have marriage, then you have family, and then you have nationalism. And the scope of the influence of the authority gets bigger as you go up the inverted pyramid. But if you destroy the bottom, crash. You destroy the next bottom, crash. And that's what's going on in our country. The whole thing is crashing down, and the last venue is what? The border. Do we have a border? Depends on who you're talking to. Hardly not. They're going to let them all come in here. And they're going to tax you to pay for them. See? And you know what that means? That means you're a slave. You're a slave to those illegals. And your slave master is the government. So, when you see that word D, think slave. Because that's what they mean. Now, they won't tell you that they're all, it's all free. Nothing's free. He's a slave. The mouse never asked why the cheese was free. He just went and ate it, and he got dead. That's what's going on. The cheese is free. Wonder why that cheese is free. He's just sitting there. The cheese is free. College is free. Healthcare is free. Oh. The mouse never asked why the cheese was free. There you go. We're free to accept or reject legitimate authority any time. God delegates all legitimate authority through the laws of divine establishment and through the principles of freedom. And all illegitimate authority is based on the function of Satan's cosmic system. So Satan's system operates in opposition to this whole thing. And actually, Satan's system is a parasite. That's really a good way to look at it. Satan could do nothing apart from God. All right? Socialism can do nothing apart from capitalism. Well, it can starve to death. And it does. Well, check out Russia around 1921. And China, even, in the early 50s. While parents have legitimate authority in the home, this authority is useless unless the children, from their own free volition, recognize and accept it. You know, see, the parents have the authority there, but the children can choose to reject that authority, especially at some point when they get older. Authority becomes useless and meaningless unless it's recognized and accepted. This is why we have revolution, crime, and other functions of evil, and this explains the rise of evil dictators. See, evil dictators sponsor that kind of viewpoint. Who's sponsoring crime and revolution and all this stuff in our country? Who's burning down blue cities? Who's aiding and abetting perversion? Evil dictator. Now they sound real good and pretty. They have a mantle of what does Paul call them? The angel of light. You know who the angel of light is? Satan. The worst evil dictator in the world. This is why believers like Balaam recognize and accept the authority of God until God gives them a command that was incompatible with their personal desire. See, Balaam was the last of the patriarchal priesthood. And we did a study on the priesthood a bunch of years ago. But to understand what's going on with time, you got to understand how that plays. It's important because the priesthood is critical to understanding the church. You're a priest. Every believer in the church age is a priest. We have an age of the universal priesthood of believers. That's why there's no slavery. Well, that's why slavery was rejected. There's still slavery. But not hardly any in Western nations. I'm not going to say it doesn't exist because you got bad people. But generally speaking, Western nations have done away with slavery because of the universal priesthood. Why? No Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free, no male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus, a new spiritual species. That's the issue. Now, Balaam was in the first cycle. This starts in Genesis 3 with the seed of the woman prophecy. And he was one of the last, and probably was, the last of the patriarchal priests. But he was killed because he went up against God. Because he wanted the money. See, he made the same mistake. Remember, Israel's coming out of Egypt, and they're going through these countries, and it turns out they're going through a country that's actually a relative. Cousin. You know, you think about that? Most of the countries Israel came through were relatives. Which means that some of their uncles and aunts and cousins and stuff had babies And these babies had more babies. And they made nations. Well, they're going through Moab. Well, Moab's a cousin. But they don't want them to be there because there's too many people. We can't deal with this. But God says they're going there. And so Balak, well, at that point, Balaam rejected the directive will of God and chose to help Balak, king of Moab, by causing God to discipline Israel. See, Balaam went to God and says, I want these people not to come here because my boy, actually, Balak sent a bucket of money. He loaded up the truck with money, hauled it over to Balaam, and says, you need to stop these people from coming over our property. And Balaam says, yeah, I like to do that. But then he goes to God, and God says, no, they're my people, and you can't curse them. Don't do it. And that's when the donkey talks to Balaam. Along that story. It's a cool story. You know, the donkey was talking to an ass. Balaam was the ass. All right? So, anyways, God says no. Well, then Balaam and Balak concoct this cool idea. Balaam says, you know, I know how to fix this so God will get them. You send all your young hot women down there, and their guys will have sex with them, and God will have to take them out. And Balak says, yeah, we'll do that. And that's what they did. And God did. He did curse Israel. And about 30,000 ended up dead, I guess. Something like that. They ran the spears through them in the end. They're copulating in the bed. Not anymore. All right? That's what God ended up doing. It was a curse on Israel because of this Balaam guy. And then, of course, then Israel gets its army on, and it takes them all out. And Balaam and Balak both got to die. Why? They violated God. But Balaam was a believer. But he had his own ideas. You know, he wanted money. That happens a lot. So God had to discipline Israel because Balaam told Balak how to get them out of line. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, they had just had that recently, you know. Hello? Get them to do that. And they did. So remember, you're going to get tempted in ways that you can't imagine by the dark side. The dark side is like Balaam, who's gone over to it. He sucked you in. The permissive will of God permits the function of human volition under the principle of human freedom. Therefore, the permissive will of God functions when the believer rejects the directive will of God, as in the case of Balaam. See, Balaam went to heaven, or paradise, when he died. Balak went to the lake of fire. So, or torments, for now. And, you know, that was they had divergent exits off the planet. But Balaam was still wiped out physically because of his association with Balak. Now, he could have flipped it around and been blessed. He could have told Balak, no, not doing that. These guys are God's people, and what he does is going to happen. And if you don't shut up and move out of Dodge, I'm going to join them, and we're going to whack you too before you. He had a choice. He could have joined up with them. Who knows what would have happened? But he could have. But knew he wanted that truckload of money. God does not tamper with human volition. When the believer rejects the authority of God's word and his divine mandates, he has, in essence, destroyed the authority of God in his life. See, that's a volitional choice we have. See, you can actually say no to God. Now, that's not a permanently good position, because it's going to put you in a bad place. But some people do, and they end up in a lake of fire. Remember, God's first direction towards us is grace. Why? Well, we can't do nothing. He put us here in this position of complete weakness because he wanted to be the only agency of advance on the basis of his truth, not anything we did. So, he did that on purpose. Why? Because since we do nothing to be saved, we can't stop doing something to not be saved. See, people think, oh, if I commit enough sins, I can't go to heaven. No. If you believed in Jesus, you're going to heaven. It ain't about you. It's about God. You see, that's where you got to get it straight. You think, you can resist God. You're allowed to do that. Well, up to a point. You might get squashed in the process, but sometimes that takes a while. So, when the believer rejects the authority of God's word, the divine mandates, he has, in essence, destroyed God's authority in his life. In fact, he has, because now he's listening to Satan. Now, that's what happened. Remember, that's what happened in the garden. There's nothing new here. The authority of God in the garden was, don't eat of that tree over yonder. And the woman got into a, I don't know, some kind of a huff with Adam, maybe. We don't know. But anyway, she's over there by the tree for some reason. And this hot serpent comes along. We don't know what they look like. And Satan indwelled this thing. And he got her to buy in on the idea that if she ate of that tree, she'd become smart as God. And she liked that idea. Oh man, that was the bucket of trinkets for her. And she ate. And that was the fall. That was the beginning of the cycle. And of course, then Adam ate too. You know, he saw her leave and he wasn't going to be by himself, I guess. So he followed her right out of the garden. So God does not tamper with human volition. He uses it. See, human volition is a test. Are you going to follow me or not? When a believer rejects the authority of God's word and his divine mandates, he has, in essence, destroyed God's authority so that he reverses the cosmic system and the authority of Satan. Goes right back to the garden after the fall. When involved in cosmic arrogance, no nation has ever learns from its and other nations' mistakes. See, that's one of the problems with arrogance. Arrogance can't learn anything because arrogance won't listen. There's no humility in arrogance. Remember, arrogance, self-justification, self-deception. Actually, it's self-absorption. Self-justification, self-deception, denial, projection. You made me do it. So it's your fault. And if you go back to Genesis, you see that process happening the first time in human race. Adam says, she made me do it. And then she said, the serpent made me do it. And then the serpent didn't have any place to go. You see, he couldn't blame nobody. Oh yeah, he did. Guess who he blamed? God. It's your fault. You made me this way. So it's your fault, God. So in essence, when we project, guess who we're blaming in the end? God. You can't learn when you have that position because you're not accepting truth. So arrogant people can't learn from anything. They never do. They'll always repeat themselves, their mistakes. This refers to non-client nations where neither a pivot or a mature believers or freedom from participation in truth of divine of its categories, establishment, the gospel, and Bible doctrine exist. See, non-client nations are basically written off. They got no... All they can do is be an adversity for a client nation. You know, and client nations should just take them out if they did the right thing. But the problem is we tolerate this crap. I mean, some nations have no reason to live. That's the kind. Our president called them what, I won't say the words, but God-forsaking, never-to-be-developed countries is similar. That's the right idea. Never-developed, why? Because negative volition is truth. And if they ever were developed, they would have to have truth first. See, truth is the precursor to development. Without it, you can't have. It's a sine qua non for advance, without which something can't happen. The non-client nation serves Satan and its own selfish motivation, ambitions, and the non-client nation is a product of its own self-determination. When a nation is involved in the cosmic arrogance, its people are blind to the fact that they're making exactly the same mistakes that destroyed every other great nation before them. Hegel stated the principle that we learn from history that we learn nothing from history. That is the truth of the truth. We're doing that right now in our country. And we don't have to look back that far either. Just, 20 years. Venezuela. Another 20, 30 years. Cuba. Another 20 or 30 years. China. Another 20 or 30 years. Russia. And there's others in between, but that'll kind of get you where you need to go. Oh, I forgot Korea. North and South Korea. Oh, Vietnam. Oh, yeah. We were over there for a while. Stuff like that. Okay, that's how it works. We learn from history that we don't learn anything from history. Why? Arrogance. See, that was why Moses was called the most humble man on the face of the earth. He did learn from history. See, what did he do? He was big man on campus in Egypt. He was the general that ran the show. Now, he wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. Because the sister of the Pharaoh had plucked him out of the Nile River because his mama and daddy floated him down it in a basket made of I don't know, straw. All right? So straw don't float too long. I mean, it probably had pitch on it, so it would float a little longer. But eventually, it absorbs the water and it sinks. But they had specifically chosen a place to drop this thing in so that it would meet her where she swam. So it shows up, and she didn't have a baby, so she picks this one up out of the water, and he has a, she raises it in her own household, which was the Pharaoh's household. And he was a big man on campus. And he turns his back on it. The Bible actually talks about this in the New Testament. I think it's in Hebrews 11, if I remember right. And anyways, Moses did not desire to stay connected with the riches of Egypt, but rather to suffer privation with God's people. Wow. That's humility. That's humility. And in the process, guess what happened? Egypt's army was destroyed. So the very army he commanded was given to another as he when he went out for 40 years to get ready. Because he got out of the sequence there. Remember, he killed the first, his first sin that we know about was that he kills the Egyptian taskmaster. He got mad at him. See, he had a besetting sin. He got angry. And ended up being his, well, he's still in heaven. But he's, you know, it cost him on the earth. Temporal loss. But he's still one of the big boys. You know, who was at the Transfiguration? I seem to think that was Moses and Elijah. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. So he's right up there. He made his mistakes. Well, Elijah had a problem too. Right? Remember, he killed the prophets of Baal. See, he wasn't supposed to do that. So they both had issues with anger. Anger management, you know. But they're still with Jesus at the Transfiguration. That's pretty wild. This is another way of saying that arrogant people or nations are unteachable, and they are blind to their own failures that result in their own self-destruction long before they're invaded and overrun. So people create their own self-destruction, and then eventually they are weakened to the point where a predator nation can take them out. See, we're in that process right there in our next country. But we ain't all the way down yet. We're on our way. We're going to see the steps right now. The three things that destroy a nation. First, economic depression that can result from government destruction of and plundering. Oh, plundering means use a slave. Okay, use a slave. The citizen is a slave. Of industry through legislation or from the greed of labor or management. Now, how would that happen? Well, the greed of labor raises wages to the point where management can't make a profit and has to shut down. Because remember, you've got to make a profit. The greed of management is when they run their jobs all to China. We've done both of them, haven't we? And we still have this government doing the same thing. We got a world of hurt going on here. We have all three of these in the USA. And you can just analyze that all kinds of ways. We're looking at a $15 an hour wage for as a starting wage. How's that going to play? Except in New York and Los Angeles, they can't pay their bills anyway. It ain't going to play. Sorry. That's the greed of labor that's backed up from legislation. Because the legislators are plunderers. See, we're well along that way. Okay, that leads to social degeneration that occurs when individual bad decisions destroy the structure of society. The sacredness of freedom, property, and life are ignored or rejected. Integrity disappears from society and replaced by every form of crime and immorality. See, that's when the perverts and the criminals take over. AKA Democrats. We ain't far from that, are we? No, we have this in the USA too. Not a good thing. Big time. These things may eventually result in military defeat, or they actually do result in military defeat. Why? Because the nation's hollowed out from the inside. And it's got this nice shiny veneer of fancy stuff. It looks real pretty on the outside, but then it gets hit, and it just falls over because it's completely rotted out in the middle. Our nation could not fight World War II right now. Not because it doesn't have the technology or the fancy weapons, but we don't have the people to man them. We don't have enough. And we probably don't have enough of the stuff either. Could we do what we did back then with Ford and GM and all this stuff that happened? Chrysler, Jeep, could we do that? Could I mean, the Trumpster kind of did some of that with the COVID thing. But that's small scale compared to what World War II was. I don't think so. And so it's not because of our guys. It's because we don't have enough of them. There's too many perverts and criminals running around. You can't run a show with that. No integrity. So, let's see. These things eventually result in military defeat. No nation can win a war when its manpower suffers from the social degeneration. There, we just talked about that. The perverts and criminals. And the industrial complex that has been eviscerated by plundering. Tax rates of 30%, 35%, which means you didn't leave any money for the owner. Sorry, you're not gonna have any business. To the point where it cannot provide logistical support. If the stolen election is implemented, this is what's coming very soon. See, the military will be eviscerated because there's nobody to make the stuff they need to fight a war. And then when China shows up at the back door, they're not going to have any resistance. None. Without a pivot of mature believers, no nation can survive on principle because the principle requires truth to function. You see, you can't work this stuff up out of nothing. People say, well, let's just be good. No, that doesn't work. You have to love God before you can even think about being good. Personal for God comes from before integrity love. And you got to have doctrine to even get to that. Okay? So the whole thing is built on doctrine. And without doctrine, you got nothing. Nothing. Except a hollowed out, eviscerated, rotted tree or building that's going to fall down at the slightest wind or pressure. And that's where we are. Real close. Without a pivot of mature believers, no vision can survive on principle because principle requires truth. Survival takes evangelism, positive volition to doctrine, and the function of the protocol plan of God, cognizance of the portfolio of invisible assets provided to every believer. So you have to know who you are in Jesus and what you got on the basis of that. And this issue with slavery and the racism that's going on because the racists that are accusing other people of being white don't have a clue about the truth. Got nothing to do with race. New spiritual species. They're calling people all kinds of names, and they're actually, when they call them these names, they're talking about themselves. They're the racists. They're the misogynists. Every name they call somebody, they already are because they're already doing it. But they're blaming everybody else. Why? Self-justification, self-deception, self, right down the process, denial, projection. You're the one that did it. All the while, it's me, the person making the action. What does God say about that? He says, do not judge another. Because, do not judge another man's servant. Because he will stand. And why will he stand? Because I will make him stand. Now, don't be surprised if that happens to our president. Who are you? Well, that's triple compound business, drips of discipline coming back at you. When you understand how that plays, I think it's in Matthew 7. When you judge other people. And God will make him stand. Why? Because he wants to kick your butt. That's why. That's why. That's sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. That's why we need to be slow to wrath. Slow. Just wait. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. For principle to function in a foreign or domestic policy, there must be a pivot of mature believers in the client nation. That means there must be truth and integrity. Out from that comes the traditional values for unbelievers of value. See, if you have a pivot, our nation is a unique nation in the sense that it was founded after the nation was Christian. See, most nations, if you go back through out the entire propagation of the client nations from SPQR over, every nation, every client nation that occurred existed prior to the pivot. All right, except the United States. In the United States, the pivot was formed first. And then we became a nation. That's why we have been the greatest nation on the planet ever. And we still are, as long as the pivot holds. And it's getting weak. Because negative list of the doctrine, that's why. The pivot creates the standards that actually influence unbelievers positively, which is why we had such great prosperity in our nation for so many years, and why we still have such innovation. Innovation requires freedom. It does not work in unfree societies. The Nazis should have had the bomb before we did by 2 or 3 years. Why do I say that? Heisenberg! That's why. One of the most brilliant scientists ever. He had it figured out. But when the Nazis took over, they screwed up his whole system so that he didn't have the freedom to operate. And God prevented them from having the bomb. We got it. Thank God. But he had it. They had their deuterium, heavy water, that came out of Norway. They had all this stuff. But the stuff just started falling apart. And it wasn't because of him, because he was brilliant. I mean, really, he was brilliant. He's smarter than any of the other guys we had. Fermi and all those guys. Yeah. Heisenberg was the guy. We still use all his math. That's how we build transistors and stuff. It's crazy. Why? Tyranny. He could not develop under tyranny. That was a good thing for us. But that's what happened. And so we end up 2 or 3 layers getting a bomb. And they'd had it way longer before that, if they'd just left him alone. He would have given it to him too, because he was nuts. I mean, he I don't know why I would have shut down, but well, no, I wouldn't. Money. The money. He was bought up by the money. It's sad. But Heisenberg, he had it nailed. He had it covered. He had the bomb. He knew how to build it. He just couldn't get it done. Tyranny. So that's what you got to realize. Freedom is the source of all this stuff. Traditional values for unbelievers as well. It's divine establishment. Principle is always based on truth, and truth must be backed by truth. See, in the final analysis, truth is the issue. I use the word, you know, the cheese stands alone. That's a riddle. Hi-ho the Dario. The cheese stands alone. Substitute truth for cheese. The truth stands alone. It's always there. And you can't do nothing against it. The truth stands alone. The principle of Bible doctrine is that truth is used in foreign policy. You must have a pivot of mature believers, thinking truth to concur with that policy. See, you just can't invent this stuff out of nowhere. It has to come from truth, integrity. Because why? God honors truth with grace. That's why we got the bomb first. Grace. We didn't deserve that. We don't deserve most of the stuff we get. In fact, we don't deserve any of it. But if you have truth, God graces you out. And all the advantages we've had are related to the truth. Remember, the advantages are no advantage without the advantage. That's a riddle I love. Because you can have all this stuff that's working, you think it's working. It's momentum from previous generations. And you can have all, and that's what the quote, Democrat, air quote, Democrat, socialists think. And they think they can take over this place and make it play. No, they can't. Because it will completely collapse as soon as they get their leeches into it. They get their suckers in there, it's going to be gone. Why? It operates on grace. You can't make grace happen. Grace comes from God. What does he do? Logistical grace pipeline. He targets truth. And what are these people against? If it's true, they hate it. Are you going to get any grace there? No. James 4:6. God makes war against the arrogant, but he gives greater grace to the humble. That's truth. So if truth is used in foreign policy, you must have a pivot of mature believers thinking truth to concur with that policy. For principle to be the surviving factor in a national entity, there must be client nation status. See, the whole thing rides on the basis of truth. The truth stands alone. The Roman Empire not only survived, but had fantastic prosperity during the period of the Antonine Caesars. Immediately after the New Testament canon was completed and circulated from 96 AD to 92 AD, this was the cycle of the Antonines. This was due to the first great pivot of believers found in the Roman province of Asia and its headquarters in Smyrna and nearby Ephesus. Did it stop? Is it going? Because I had a reset on the router. Flash up. A nation without positive volition and a pivot is a nation on a way to destruction. Or it is a nation which perpetuates itself through evil and is used as a divine instrument of judgment during the church age. So you got two functions in life. You're either advancing and doing the will of God, or you're being opposed. You're being groomed to be an opposition power. Now, see, that's what we got with China. Now, China doesn't have any basis reason to exist. It just has a huge slave state. All their people are slaves, whether they know it or not. And they've created this side business of capitalism to fund their perpetual, the fact that they're sucking off of it. That's how they're keeping it going. And, of course, they're stealing from everybody. So that they're our opposition right now, or one of them, major. God reserves the function of principle and integrity and traditional values of the nation's foreign and domestic policy under the historical trends for client nation only. Remember, it goes back to truth. The only nation that can function under foreign policy based on the function of principle and integrity is a client nation. See? So you can't just gin this up and make it happen. You know, they talk about bottom up and top down with their communist crap. Well, this is the bottom up of the client nation. The Word of God. The churches. Believers having positive volition. That's the bottom up. And without that, the top down don't play. You got nothing. In fact, you really don't even have a top down. What did Jesus say? The greatest will be the greatest servant. So out of the pivot comes someone who will do the leading. Someone with humility. Someone like Moses or David. Not that they're not perfect. No, they have big problems. They're people. They got sin natures. But they have humility. That's the difference. They have humility. When a nation such as ours is not functioning on the basis of integrity and principle, the result is disaster. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High God gave nations their inheritance, and when He separated the children of Adam, He established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the citizens of Israel. Client nation Israel was a determining factor in the nationalism for many centuries. Remember, the whole bunch cycle came out was after Moses, they existed for thousands of years. We looked at it, and it was 720 BC when the Northern Kingdom was taken out, and 586 BC when the Southern Kingdom was taken out. And then they went away, remember, the Babylonians took them, Chaldeans took them over. And then Cyrus, when he took over in Babylonia, he was moved by God to let them go back to the land after the 70 years of captivity. And they were there until 70 AD. The same principle applies during the church age under Acts 17:26. From one man, God made every nation of the human race to inhabit the earth, the surface of planet earth. And God has predetermined the time and place where each nation will exist. See, this contradicts these people that think that we don't have borders. Now, there's going to come a time when we don't have borders, at least functionally. That's called the tribulation. So, the assault on borders is happening. Remember, that's the top of the inverted pyramid. By the time you get there, volition is gone, marriage is gone, family is gone, and nationalism is gone. Now, who's running the show? Satan. Unrestricted. So God, the church, the last thing that gets rid of the nationalism is the church is gone. Exit resurrection. Every nation must function on the basis of self-determination, and no nation has the right to tell other nations how to run their business. See, that's the idea of live and let live. People have a right to be wrong. That exists not only as a national level, but it exists on personal level. Except, the limit to that is criminality. That's where you have authority that can come in and make an adjustment. So if a nation's attacked, that's criminality. Well, at least it is towards the nation that was attacked. So if they've done the right thing and they have the capacity, they can reject that. That's what happened during World War II and other places. But as a client nation, we do have the right to send out missionaries and establish churches. We have no right to superimpose our false standards and acquired through the cosmic living in other nations. See, one of the big problems we've had in our country is we've moved away from using the basis of our success, our military success, to evangelize, and we've gone into this crazy thing called nation building. Well, you can't build nations. Nations have to be built from the bottom up. And they don't have a pivot. So how are they going to how is this foreign nation going to have the ability to have the same kind of standards we have? With no pivot. You can't. So you're wasting your time and your money. We've done that over and over again trying to do that. I mean, well-intentioned people maybe, but really not smart. That's what's happened over the last, 100 years almost. Maybe a little bit less, but similar, close to that. Ever since World War II, certainly. So it's nuts. Until now, the president now recognizes we've got to be MAGA. Well, he's right. Because we got to pivot here. And we got to keep that running. It's not our job to go over there and fix their problem. But it is our job to kick their butts if they bother us. You notice we haven't had any wars with him. Makes you wonder, huh? How many are we going to get now? They're going to go rebuild nations. They're going to start with Iran. What a laugh. They already tried. They dumped a bunch of money on their tarmac. The church age is the only dispensation in which historical trends are determined by the volition of the individual believer in Jesus. The church age is a dispensation of the historical trends without prophecy. With as goes in a volition, so goes the church age. So your volition, the volition of every believer, determines what's going on in the historical trends. Only during the church age are historical trends related exclusively to decisions made by believers in any given generation. In all other dispensations, historical trends are determined by prophecy. Prophecy determines the historical trends in every dispensation of the church age, and historical trends during the church age are not determined by prophecy. And this is the age of no prophecy, again, no prophecy. So we'll pick up here next time, actually, a couple times later, because I'm going to do some Christmas stuff. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and the blessing it is for us to understand this and recognize that all that we have has come from you on the basis of your grace. And you're targeting truth. So the challenge to us is to operate in truth. And we start with Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And anyone who comes to you must come through him. So that's where we start. But then after that, we have the thinking of Christ. That becomes the basis to become the basis of our thinking. And so we develop capacity for greater grace on the basis of truth. Help us to do that as we fight the challenges that come our way and stand our ground, because that's the essence of the fight. And we ask this thank you now in Jesus' name, amen.